Twos and threes, fours and fives. You may be dismissed. The rest of you, if you would please, turn in the Word of God to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll start there as kind of a little bit of review. And then we'll go to some new material tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll get there in just a moment. We have been working through, starting last week, how a Christian should dress as part of our Hot Topics series. And we mentioned last week that mentioning that subject automatically makes people uncomfortable. And we want to look at it from the Word of God. We talked about the sensualness of our clothing. Some put an overemphasis on the subject. Some put an underemphasis on the subject. God always has a balanced view of the subject. That's always the way He approaches things. We talked about, as we looked at the sensualness of the clothing, the responsibility of each of us to one another. There's a responsibility that I have to other brothers and sisters in Christ as I think about the clothing and the way that I dress. And then we talked about the responsibilities of the individual. The individual person has a responsibility to respond the right way, no matter what other people around them are doing. God always wants us to respond in a positive way. Then we talked about some specifics about the clothing. We worked through this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and following. We talked about in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, with not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We talked a little bit about the meanings of each of those words. The word adorn means to put in order or arrange. The word modest again means seemly or well-ordered. We talked about the apparel, the idea of being let down. The shamefacedness, a sense of honor or a modesty, a bashfulness or a reverence, a regard for others, even in that aspect of it. As one author said, the word points to the kind of attitude that would keep a person from an unbecoming behavior, that which is appropriate. We talked about sobriety, that self-control, not letting loose of one's passions. We mentioned last week that the idea behind one of the words for nakedness is an unrestraint. There's just no restraints on us at all. We talked about the idea that someone could be completely covered and yet be drawing attention to themselves, and that also be a wrong, not very costly to say, hey, if you will, look at me. It should be something that is becoming or seemly, appropriate, fit, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. Tonight I'd like for us to concentrate really on the idea number three of the stamp of clothing. That is, what does clothing say about me? Now, let's think about this just by way of illustration a little bit, and then we'll look at some passages from the Word of God. If tonight I flashed up on the screen back here certain pictures, you could identify what you would assume that person is based upon the uniform that that person had on. Okay? So, in other words, if you had a person that was on the screen and they looked really, really sharp in a set of blues, the best looking military uniform that there is, you would assume naturally that would be what? Yeah, I knew some of these guys would say some things, yeah. You could have a guy in a firefighter, for instance. He has a distinction in his uniform, doesn't he? What he wears, his clothing should probably be fire resistant, don't you think? That'd be a good idea for that to happen. If we had a policeman walk in here, Nathan McCree is a policeman in Gastonia. One of the things that strikes me when you see a policeman in uniform is how much bigger they look. Well, that's because they're wearing bulletproof vests and so forth. That's part of that distinction. They have, you know, the guns and all this kind of stuff that goes along with it, you know. So in other words, it's not unusual at all for us to identify someone by what they're wearing. Many times, no matter what company you go to, The company specifically wants you to wear certain things, maybe a name brand on it that says the name of your company or whatever that may be. So your clothing, there's a stamp about it, if you will, an identification with some things. And I think specifically the clothing does a couple of things as we look at the Word of God. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. First off, I believe our clothing should point to the resident of our body. The resident of our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, context of this passage we've mentioned to you before is that there were people in this day and age who believed that there was a spiritual life and there was a physical life, and the two of them had nothing to do with each other whatsoever. So I could do whatever I wanted in my spiritual life. That didn't really matter what happened in my physical life. And I could do whatever I wanted with my physical life, and it would have an impact on my spiritual. So physically, I could be immoral all I wanted to because that had no impact on my spiritual at all. Now, that was being taught during that time. That's a foolish and unbiblical argument, okay? Just as no part of your body is independent of itself, physically speaking, no part of your body is independent of itself when it comes to your physical body, your soul, your spirit. They're deeply connected, and the impact is there. We can see that when we look at the life of David, can't we? When David sinned with Bathsheba, how does he describe the physicalness of his body? Look at some of these passages of Scripture. My bones roared within me. He couldn't sleep. The guilt was just eating him alive. Those were all physical impacts to the spiritual, if you will, sin that was taking place there. So who owns our body? Paul writes here, can I tell you something? Your body, the physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's what's housing the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you're not your own. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you don't belong to you. You belong to God. And Paul says, because you belong to God, and because you are bought with a price, Paul says, the logic says, therefore glorify God, to bring the right opinion of God in your body and in your spirit, which both belong to God. That's what Paul's saying. So my dress should identify who is the resident of my body. This word temple in this passage comes from a Greek word that means to dwell. You don't own you if you're saved. Because you are purchased with Jesus' blood, you should give the right opinion of him in body and spirit. That is your physical life and your spiritual life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. That just makes sense, that if God owns you, then you present that body in a way that would bring the right opinion of him. So the question is, does your clothing clearly state who owns you? Does your clothing clearly state who owns you? That, to me, is not just an incidental point. I think that's a critical point. We have spent a lot of time in this series talking about the principle of distinction. And one of the things that's happening today is the lines of distinction continue to be eroded, not only in the world, but in the church, so that we no longer have distinction between male and female. Did you hear this week a couple in Canada is fighting to have their baby not be, they have their baby be neutral in their gender, to not put male or female on there. I want to give them a little bit of heads up here. You can put all you want on a birth certificate, but they're either male or female. That's the two options in the Word of God. But that's part of what's happening today. And even in the church, We are working so hard to look like the world. And the Bible says that's not how we are to be doing. We are to be distinct in that. So I think your clothing says who is the resident of your body. But number two, the stamp of your clothing, it reveals the heart. It reveals the heart. Clothing specifically can signify a heart attitude. And most of these points, by the way, have many other verses. I'm just pulling some passage of Scripture, so we're not reading just tons and tons tonight, but there are more to this. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her." Told her what? Told her that Mordecai was sitting in the gate in sackcloth and ashes. "Then was the king exceedingly grieved and sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not." Now, why was Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes? Because Mordecai was outwardly symbolizing what was taking place in his heart. He was heartbroken. Why? Because the decree had just been read that every Jew on a certain date was going to be slaughtered. And Mordecai knew who was behind it. And Mordecai knew, at least at this point, there was nothing he could do unless Esther herself could intervene. And Mordecai was outwardly symbolizing what was in his heart. His heart was broken, therefore he put on sackcloth and ashes. Again, that's seen in multiple other places in Scripture. So what you wear reveals a heart attitude. Now, again, we know this from society, don't we? Think about, we can identify, generally speaking, we can identify certain eras in this country by the clothes that people wore, could we? Why did young people wear certain clothing in the 60s and early 70s? Everybody knew it. It was the clothing of rebellion. That's what rebels wore. And they wanted to identify themselves with it. It was reflective of a heart attitude. Did wearing that particular piece of clothing make you a rebel? No, it just revealed what was in your heart. So clothing does that for this. One author said this. This is a very interesting quote. Quote, "You show me a woman with a beautiful character. You show me a woman with a meek and quiet spirit. You show me a woman who has an incorruptible heart. You show me a woman who comes to worship God, and I'll show you a woman whose wardrobe you don't have to worry about because the heart dictates the issue." It's a powerful statement. It reveals the heart. So what is your clothing saying about your heart? Now, please understand this. I want us to be careful here. Sometimes there are folks who simply do not know better. That's a totally different ballgame, okay? We're not talking about that. Do you know, as the 25 years that I spent as a youth pastor, this is true, and I'll look at my wife, but I'm pretty sure it's true in every case. Anytime we ask a young person who was unchurched, whether they were unsaved or not, we weren't sure, maybe they were new to our youth group, anytime we ask that person to change something about their clothing, and by the way, we only did that when it was egregious. I mean, it was just, we couldn't go through the night that way, okay? Every time my wife would do that, not one time in 25 years of youth ministry did we get a fight from them. Every time, they said, "Oh, I am so sorry. Absolutely, I'll put on that team shirt or whatever we had for her." Can I tell you just the opposite were true for Christian young ladies? If my wife would go to a young lady and say, "Hey, we've talked about this before, such and such and such and such." "What? You can't tell me what to do. I don't know. No, no, no." All this kind of stuff. It's like, you know what all you're doing? You're just saying, "Let me just tell you what my heart really is here." That's what it's really saying about them. And that was true across the board. So I think the stamp of your clothing, one, is the resident of your body. Who is it saying this belongs to? Two, it reveals the heart. Three, it says something about your reputation. In other words, who you are. Our clothing speaks to reputation. Okay, let me give you a couple of passages of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 38, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot, because she had covered her face. In other words, the garments changed to identify herself. She dressed to tell him, physically, I'm available. By the way, that's what he assumed, the Word of God tells us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. And she was subtle of heart. The garment of a harlot. What people were wearing in their clothing said something about them. It's the reputation. For instance, white raiment many times signified a wedding garment. We'll talk about some of these things a little bit later on. But Jesus actually uses a parable of a man who comes to a wedding feast without a proper garment. And what does the governor of the feast do? Sends him out. This will speak to appropriateness too, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. We've already, again, touched on the sackcloth and some of these other things, but speaks to our reputation. In 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 18, and she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. This is that horrible story where David's son rapes his own half-sister. How did Absalom know that took place? Because the garments that identified her specifically were messed up. They were torn. So it speaks to reputation. This is very interesting. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 30, the theological word book of the Old Testament says, clothing could reveal a sensuous luxury, as in Jeremiah 4 and verse 30, or a prosperity, as in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21. So the very clothing itself spoke to something. It said reputation. Jeremiah 4:30 says, and when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with the ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall they make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. So again, the clothing that you have speaks to your reputation. Number four, I want us to look fourthly at the rationale of clothing. That is, ask this question, why are you dressing the way you're dressing? Why are you dressing the way you're dressing? Why do you want to dress a certain way? In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, walking with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. In verse 18 of that same passage of Scripture, in that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round tires like moons, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. Back in the Bible days, they had mufflers for women. I don't know what that says, but we'll leave that one alone. That's what the text says. It says in their mufflers. I'm just saying. I know I'm in trouble now. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the whipples and the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, they shall be stank. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a grinding of sackcloth. And a burning instead of beauty. In other words, God said these women specifically used clothing as a sensual attraction. They were drawing attention to themselves. And God said, I'm going to turn every bit of that against you. And when you put on your perfume to smell good, you're going to stink. Wow. What is the purpose of your clothing? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to give the right opinion of the God that you serve. Matthew chapter 6 is a lengthy chapter. We won't read it all, but we know a very popular verse in that. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things? What are some of the things that he's talking about? Some of that is your clothing. In other words, God says, I'm more concerned that you seek God's kingdom than I am how you dress when you're talking about fancy clothing. Again, this is a blog by a young lady. She said, "I grew up thinking modesty was just about helping guys in their battle against lust. But modesty isn't about preventing men from lusting after women. While we should desire to help Christian men and uphold purity, we have our own responsibility to walk purely. This means that in every decision, we shouldn't be asking, how does this make me feel, or how far can I go, but how holy can I be?" That's a powerful statement. Another lady said, "Our choices in how we dress, how short our skirt is, how low our shirt is, how tight our pants are, is the clearest reflection of our personal priorities and our openness to letting God's word alter our lives." I realize that is a bold statement, but it's very, very true. When I am not walking in God's Spirit and seeking to do what I read in His Word, I will wear whatever I want at the expense of the men around me and my own self-respect. In those moments, I would rather be trendy, Pinteresty, and provocative than prove to the world that I worship God. Wow. Again, we've spent a great deal of time on this, but throughout Scripture, motives are absolutely critical. They're absolutely critical. We know that God dealt with motives in the New Testament specifically when he talked about don't let your right hand and your left hand know, pray in a closet. We mentioned those things last week a little bit. So we asked this question: why do I dress the way I dress? What is this particular dress, this particular item, saying about me? What's the stamp of my clothing? Now, you may say, well, Pastor, what about the idea of a woman? God has designed a woman to be orderly, and he's designed her to be pretty. He's designed her to be attractive. He's designed her, in some cases, to be colorful and some of that stuff. That is a wonderful question, and we're going to answer that question, okay? I think it's a tremendous question, and I think it's a question that God wants us to answer, and I believe that it's something that will help give clarity to it, but all of it boils down to the real motive. So am I dressing? And by the way, men, though we don't as much care about our clothing, that's obvious by some of you. I got on the women for the mufflers. I got to get on your men sometimes, right? You want to say, your wife obviously didn't see you before you left the house, right? It's like, okay. But can I tell you something? Men, even in our dress, we ought to want to give the right opinion to the God that we serve. We ought to want to say, my God is important. I don't think there's anything wrong with a style, and being in style, by the way, as long as that style doesn't violate God's word. I don't think we have to dress like the 1900s. Nobody in here does. Some of you are thinking, huh? Well, go back and look at what they dressed like in the 1900s. Like, I'm talking about not 1900s as in 1994. I'm talking about the early 1900s, okay? There's nothing wrong with being up to date, if you will, as long as we don't violate God's word. Really important as we work through here. But again, the motive is important. Why am I dressing this way? Why do I, girls, want to look cute? Do I want to give the right opinion of God, or do I want to give the right opinion to man? Men, why do you want to look sharp? Do you want the world to say, he serves an incredible God? Or do you want them to say, wow, that guy's really good looking? You're like, there's not a lot of guys think that way. They are, especially in the age of about 16 to 22 or so. You know, I know some of you are in that age. You know, they stand in front of the mirror. You know, all this kind of stuff, you know. When you get a little bit older, that doesn't matter anymore. It has zero to do with the fact that you still have muscles, because you don't. And you understand that, and so you just go on. It's fine. Life is that way. It's all right, right? Is it true from Scripture that everything we do should be pointing to our God? That's unequivocally clear in Scripture. So the question is, does that include my dress? Well, since we said everything, it would include our dress. It would include that. We want to give the opinion of God and who He is. And we don't want someone to have to get over how we're dressed to see our God. We want it to be pretty clear who it is. And it doesn't matter where you go. Most companies who have some kind of uniform require you to do things. My brother makes a really, really good living. Do you know what he does for a living? He delivers uniforms to companies. That's what he does. Because all these companies all over the Tampa, St. Pete area in Florida want their employees looking a certain way. And they expect those uniforms. And those guys pay a lot of money for those uniforms to look a certain way. If the world can have that kind of standard for a restaurant, for a plant that you work in, for a military institution, or whatever else, why should we be less for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I think that makes logical sense, as well as some biblical truths. So what does your clothing say about you? What's the stamp of your clothing? Father, we thank you for these truths. Help us to apply them to our hearts and lives. We need them, and we struggle. All of us struggle with motives at times, and sometimes our own motives deceive our own heart. But we pray that you would be pleased in the things that we say and do. Now, Lord, give us strength as we continue in just a little bit with some training time as we work through these things. We're grateful for the privilege of serving together. So many of our people are involved in teaching and leading our ministry, and what a blessing that is. Help that to be a productive time. In your name we pray.